Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, June 24th of 2020. Happens to be the day before halfway to Christmas, which of course is June 25th. And can you believe the year is just about half over? Yeah, it was going by real slow back in late March, but then ever since then, it really started going by a lot quicker. And it's just wild to me. But, well, I'm so glad you could join us tonight, wherever you could be, maybe, however you may be joining this program, whether you're calling in or you're listening in through the website, on your laptop, your smartphone, maybe you're using a flip phone or a BlackBerry. I don't even know if they still make those anymore. I used to call mine a blueberry when I had mine for a short little while. I used to call mine a blueberry. I heard a joke once around the time that the blueberry phone would be the one that didn't do anything. And then someone tried to tell me that blueberry is what they call the BlackBerry phone in Canada. Again, I think that was a joke. Why do you think it is, Megan, that BlackBerry was the most mocked smart of the smartphones?
Probably because it was one of the original keyboards, full keyboards.
I haven't heard any of them mocked.
They have the ability to, scroll with a little ball versus having to push an arrow.
And at the time, people weren't necessarily used to that. Is that why they were mocking it?
It was, newer, and so it was super cool because you didn't have to push. You could just, roll.
Do you think that one was the most mocked of the smartphones? Was the BlackBerry?
In its time, yeah. Now I would say iPhone definitely is mocked, and they improved iPhone system.
I know that Android. I've heard people call it the Hemdroid. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't.
I heard someone do that.
Really?
That might be the best one of the Droid, don't you think? That might be the best one. Do you feel like that might be the best one?
For a joke?
For the Droid nickname.
Yeah.
Where they make a name to try to make fun of the device.
Right. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I think I like that one because me being an iPhone user for 8 years, So I tend to agree. And I told Siri once that I wanted a Droid. She didn't really respond back to me. It was almost like she gave me ignorance and the silent treatment. She would do that to me, Megan, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
Yes. I was hoping she'd get all mad at me or something and throw a fit. But instead she decided to give me the little silent thing or tell me that she didn't understand what I was saying.
Right.
So to her, apparently, and this was a few years ago, I haven't really tried it since. I should and see what she does. And when iOS 14 comes out in September, I'm certainly going to try it then.
Uh-huh.
I hope then maybe she'll have a little bit more teeth about it, a little bit more time to think about it. To think about how she feels about, I'd like to see a Siri that can have all kinds of different voices, and even different tempers, where she's still nice, but she kind of reacts with her voice, to your feelings and stuff, whatever you're saying.
Right.
That way it's more like a human, more human-like. Because I don't know why, listeners, but to me, an angry Siri, that'd be kind of funny to hear.
A little bit.
What?
I said little bit.
Just a little bit. I think it'd be pretty hilarious. I think it would be.
They have, if you jailbreak your phone, then she can say, like, I think she can say, like, different types of things.
Of course not. It's just different.
Yeah.
How do you jailbreak your phone?
I don't think you're supposed to actually jailbreak your phone. Oh,
no.
Yeah. I don't know how to do it.
All right. We're so glad to have you tonight. Like I said, regardless of what device, what your location, we're so glad to have you. And before I really get into the meat of the night, I want to tell you about something that I meant to tell you about last night, but I didn't do it. We are having at my church on Saturday, we are having an event called the Free Market, the Flood Restoration Free Market. Maybe you live here in the local area, maybe your house was damaged in some way by the flood. Maybe you lost some things, clothing, towels, different kinds of things like that. There's going to be all kinds of free stuff out there at Living Word Church at 2010 North Stark Road, just outside of the city of Midland. Between 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock on Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and this is going to be in a big tent at, like I said, Living Word Church, 2010 Stark Road, a mile north of US 10. And there's going to be a lot of good quality stuff out there. And you can go take advantage of that, get whatever you may need. You can just let stuff be a blessing to you. Or maybe you didn't necessarily get damaged by the flood, but maybe you're just in need of some clothing, or a dresser, or whatever else it might be. Ultimately, flood relief is a targeted thing, because obviously if your house was flooded, when you if you evacuated, you could only take so much stuff with you. And if your house flooded, then that means you lost if your house flooded, like if your basement flooded, you probably lost a lot of stuff. If your regular floor, like your living floor is flooded, then that means you lost a lot more stuff. And so you can help yourself, go out there and help yourself to the different things. They're going to have bikes for the kids. Normally they do it around back to school, but with the flood that happened, they moved it up to June. Especially when who knows what back to school is going to look like this year. They say one thing, but I still don't know. Who knows? We'll have to see. But like I said, go to the free market. Go help yourself and go let that be a blessing to you. Because at my church, you know, we love people. We love the local area. We care about people. Like I said, go help yourself to whatever it is that you have need of. There'll be a lot of different things. And you don't have to pay for any of it. That's why it's called the free market. When I was little, I used to go to the South a lot. And since then, flea markets have moved north as well. But originally, from what you understand, weren't the flea markets originally more of a southern thing, Megan, from what you understand?
I think the only difference was really that, like, I always heard of them called Brummage tales.
You mean in the south or up here?
Up here.
But,
oh, wait, no, I'm thinking of garage sales. No, I don't know about flea markets. I've always heard of them just kind of being around everywhere. They were always just little markets that people got together and sold. Small little thing.
In the South, I had seen them in like these, in a couple of different bigger barn type places down there, like in or next to the city of Chattanooga.
My uncle
went to the
flea market.
Where is this at?
It's in Farwell. It used to be at Eagle Crest Homes, but now it's right next to Carol in Farwell, and people come up and rent little spots and put up tables and sell little knickknacks or antiques, or some people sell like bigger stuff, like they've like brought dryers and appliances up there before.
I remember seeing one that I think I want to say it was like the size of a Target or something maybe. And they were like in these big buildings. I remember some of them, like one of them. It was, like I said, it was either in or next to Chattanooga. And they always had a couple food vendors, of course.
Yeah.
Where you could get your hot dog and soda on.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, your mystery tube and soda on.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the mystery tube, you don't know what's in it, but it's tasty.
Yeah.
And
like
the official food of summer. Is, of course, mystery tube. A burger, some chips, an icy cold Coca-Cola, and of course, you know, some ice cream.
Yeah, definitely. Or popsicles.
Yep, some ice cream. Maybe even a nice old Blizzard from DQ.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, when I was little, I used to think those flea markets were actually called a free market. At that age, because I remember we were in it. We were getting some stuff. And I remember we left, and a couple of days later, I said to my mom, didn't we get these things at the free market? And then he was like, didn't we get these things at the free market, Mom?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, yeah, we did. But Riv, it's actually a flea market. Not a free market. Because she said, like, yeah, we did. But she said, it's actually a flea market. And obviously, I don't know why it's called a flea market, but I'd rather not. We don't care. You don't know why either, do you?
No, I don't know why. Probably because it's small little people in one area selling a lot of stuff, like fleas on a dog. There's just, like, lots of little ones everywhere.
The animal fleas is something I was trying to avoid.
I know.
but it's, like, just, you mean, like, it's, like, because they're very small businesses, they might be.
Little people selling their own little stuff, like, at a large area.
What you mean is, like, they might be getting their, kind of, maybe their first start, or maybe they've been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
So in a way, essentially, those couple different times at the mall, essentially, they were running what you could almost call flea markets.
Right. In a way, yeah.
In a way, even though they were using the mall common area to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But in a sense, that's what it was, because they had these little tables. But anyhow, the free market, free, not flea. Free will be on Saturday, 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock at my church, big tent. And you'll want to get there early. Ton of people go to it. There have been times where, with like an hour to go, in which everything was gone. So if you want stuff, you'll want to get there kind of early. Obviously, my church does this because we care about people. We care about the community. We care about people. For a while, I wasn't sure if they were going to be able to pull it off, but they're doing it. But listeners, I got some more good news for you, and that is tomorrow in the state of Michigan here, the state I'm in, gyms get to reopen tomorrow. Because I know, right? Because that judge on Friday basically overruled Whitmer, and he basically said that she had overstepped. He said that she had basically overstepped her authority, keeping them closed too long. But of course, like Whitmer would do, she filed an appeal, and she was all whining, being like, "Oh, those should be the last place to open because of all the respiratory breathing and all the other things and how hard it may be to wear a mask while you're exercising and all that, and there should be the last thing to open." And she's over there, sitting there, throwing her little Whitmer fit. That's kind of what it is, right? A Whitmer fit, right?
Yeah.
That's a good name for it, right?
Yeah.
And when she's acting like that, I should really call her Fitmer.
Yeah, there you go.
That's good, because sometimes the way she'll say it's almost like she's talking to us like we're all little kids. When we're not, you know, unless your little kids are hearing it, but you know what I mean. I mean, you're not, and I'm not. You know, you have four, even though the one helping me has four kids of her own. But I mean, obviously, me and her. But it's so funny. Nonetheless, it's a good thing that was to show you we're opening up. I gotta say though, the enemy doesn't want us to. The enemy doesn't want America open back up. The enemy wants us back locked down. And there's a bunch of certain states right now that are having record and near record cases. But while that isn't necessarily a good thing, the good thing is that these people who are getting it, at least now, they're not dying. The deaths are not at the same rate that they were. You've heard that too, right, Megan?
Yeah.
Like while cases may be increasing, not the deaths.
Right.
And that's because the people who are getting them now are younger. Obviously, the problem with that is, you know, they could get some of the older ones back sick again. But, you know, the truth of the matter is viruses mutate. Also, viruses often come in quick. Sometimes they go out quick, other times not. In Jesus' name, this one's going to go out quick. But while even though you may be having more hospitalizations in some of these places, ventilator use is down. You have heard that too, right? But it's like even though they're in the hospital, they're not and they have to be in an ICU. They're not necessarily on a ventilator. So that means something is different. But needless to say, the enemy does not want America back open. The devil doesn't want America back open. There's obviously, if the experts have their way, we would all be still, all we would all still be locked up in our house wearing a mask. I was told about a couple people who are actually wearing a mask in their own house. Folks, I hear of these people who are in their house wearing a mask. I mean, who are driving in their car by themselves wearing a face mask. Oh, really? You can catch this virus from your pistons, from your AC unit, from your brake pedal, your gas pedal? Nope. It's close. Human-to-human contact, especially coughing, sneezing, shouting. But not from your car thing. Not from your car. And the good news of this whole thing is people are not dying like they were. They're not. And I think you're going to see a breakthrough soon. I don't know how soon, but I think soon, a few weeks or months or something. And I think at some point, don't know when, but there'll be some point in the next few months, I think, it's hard to tell when, but at some point, it won't be all that relevant. And I think what's going on right now is the enemy is throwing one of his tantrums, trying to get America to lock back down. And we just got to pray for America. We've got to pray. And, you know, initially, the virus was supposed to kill 2.2 million people. That didn't happen. We're not even at a tenth of that yet. So that failed to do what it was supposed to do, even though it's still enough. But then we had the riots. Those while some things are happening in that, they're not necessarily. While they're doing a lot, they're not necessarily doing everything, being able to do everything that they want to do. The city of Seattle their mayor just said that they're not going to allow that policeless neighborhood where the police were blocked from entering that neighborhood. The Seattle mayor just said that she's not going to allow that to continue. So hopefully see breakthrough there. So because that wasn't doing everything it was supposed to do, they wanted to stir up the virus again. That's going to, in Jesus' name, that's going to fail too. So we just have to continue to pray and believe God that every plan the enemy has for America comes to naught. We have to stand together as Christians. We have to believe God. Believe God. Also, we need to continue to curse this virus. We need to continue to curse this spirit of unrest that's going on. Because we just have to believe God that He'll have His way, and that America will start to calm down, because the enemy wants America to fail. That's what the enemy wants. The enemy did not want to continue what was happening in January and February of 2020. the enemy did not like that. And so we have to pray over America. We have to. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the great United States of America. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done for this country, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. Thank you that America, that you will continue to use America for such a day, such a time as this. I pray, Lord God, that you would push back against the enemy, that the enemy's plan would be pushed back and be brought to naught in the name of Jesus. I curse this virus. This virus dies right now in the name of Jesus. These cases will fall back down in the name of Jesus. I thank you that America will continue to open up and our economy will come back. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for that you're healing our standing in this country. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you would deal with this unrest. I curse the spirit of unrest, the civil unrest that's going on in America. I take authority over that stuff. I curse it. It has no place in this country. And I thank you that we would get back our respect for police. We would get back our respect for law and order. Not this tyranny, this respect for proper law and order. And I give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for everything you're doing for in and for America. In Jesus' name. Now tonight, as we go into the meat of the night, the plan is this. I'm going to sing you a couple of songs, including Psalm 23 song. I'm not saying whether that's going to be the first or the second song. That one's going to be a suddenly. So, like I said, we're going to sing two songs, and then we're going to open up the Word of God. And I want to teach tonight on being unashamed. Being unashamed. The other song of the two songs, the other song is going to be a song we used to sing at church back in the day. And it's about being unashamed of the gospel. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is being unashamed. Unashamed. I'm going to deal with tonight is being unashamed of the gospel. All right. So we're going to do that. We're going to read and we're going to exhort. And then also does look like we're going to have a baseball season. I'll talk about how that's going to work. And then so that's the plan for the evening. Before we do any of that, I want to remind you of our sponsor tonight, excuse me, of our sponsor tonight, which happens to be your local Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel is a place to go to get some good old country fixings, whatever you're in the mood for that day. Maybe you want a country fried steak, some biscuits and gravy, maybe some chicken and dumplings, maybe some fried chicken. Maybe you want some of that good old catfish, like what you'd find in Mississippi. You can find it at your local Cracker Barrel Old Country Store. Of course, headquartered in Lebanon, Tennessee. Because on the old Cracker Barrel ad, they always said where their headquarters was. Obviously, in this area, the closest Cracker Barrel is in Bay City, exit 164 off 75 Wilder Road. But go to your local Cracker Barrel and enjoy some good old Southern country cooking. And of course, while you're there, you can have an ice cold Coca-Cola, or you can do what I do a lot, have a slice of their fudge Coca-Cola cake, which is really good. It is really good, and I enjoy it. So go to your local Cracker Barrel, or as some people might say it, Crackle Barrel. Enjoy yourself some good old country cooking. And while you're waiting for your food, maybe, or maybe before you get seated, or maybe after your meal, you can go look at the old country store and pick up some good, some tasty goodies while you're in the country store. Maybe you'll find some good clothing. Maybe you'll find some old toys. Maybe you'll find they got some good old bottled root beers you can grab for the road. But you can find yourself some good old country stuff at your local Cracker Barrel. Find out more at Cracker Barrel Old Country Store, or maybe it's just Cracker Barrel, either one. Or download the Cracker Barrel app. Find out more. You've been to Cracker Barrel, right, Megan?
I have not, but Zach's sister used to be a waitress at Cracker Barrel.
They have a Cracker Barrel in Bay City, Megan, believe it or not.
Yeah, I've wanted to go for a long time. I just haven't had the chance, really.
Yep. You've always wanted to go to one, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
They even have, good biscuits and gravy and stuff, too.
Right.
It's basically 20 minutes from here, even. It's closer to – the funny thing is that it's closer to my side than what it is to your side, I know, right?
Yeah.
Because you guys, as closest one is either in Lansing or Bridgeport,
yeah,
or Bay City, either one. Whereas I have one 20 minutes away.
Right.
Whereas you guys though, but anyhow, listeners, now we're gonna sing. We're gonna sing, like I said, and then we're gonna go into the Word of the Lord tonight. We're gonna talk about being unashamed. No, listeners, not about Cracker Barrel, about not being ashamed of the gospel. Of course, you don't want to be unashamed. You don't want to be ashamed of Cracker Barrel either. If you're ashamed of Cracker Barrel, you must have had really bad food or something. Because I like it there. Of the sit-down chains, it's probably maybe tied with Ponderosa maybe or Golden's for my favorite of the sit-downs,
yeah,
of the chains is.
Oh, yes.
Of the sit-down non-buffets, I would say Cracker Barrel is probably my favorite of the chains.
Yeah.
Now, some of these diners that I've been to in other places, I like them the same, if not more. Because, like I said, I love diners. Did you say you have been to that diner in Mount Pleasant?
I have not, no. Quincy was.
Only her? That's the only one you know of that went to it?
I mean, I probably know people that have went to it and I've come and talked to them about it.
Oh, wow. But anyhow, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Renew, wholeness, rescue, restoration, renewal, deliverance, that is salvation. Wholeness, rescue, restoration, renewal, deliverance, that is salvation. To those who believe, to those who believe, to those who believe. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Wholeness, rescue, restoration, renewal, deliverance, that is salvation. Wholeness, rescue, restoration, renewal, deliverance, that is salvation. To those who believe, to those who believe, to those who believe. Yeah, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To those who believe, to those who believe, to those who believe. Wholeness, rescue, restoration, renewal, deliverance, that is salvation. Wholeness, rescue, restoration, renewal, deliverance, that is salvation. To those who believe, to those who believe, to those who believe. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Thank you, Jesus. We're unashamed of you, Jesus. We're unashamed of you. Unashamed of you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I am not alone. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. My cup overflowing. I won't fear. He always guides me. Beside the still waters, we walk through rivers and valleys. I won't fear. Hallelujah! I am not alone. Thank you, Jesus. He's my comfort. He always draws me close. Hallelujah. I am not alone. You're my comfort, Jesus. He's my comfort. He always draws me close. He always guides me through rivers and valleys. Walk through the valley. He restores my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am not alone. He's my comfort. He's my comfort. He always draws me close. From your heart now, hallelujah. I am not alone. You're my comfort. You're my comfort. You always draw me close. Your spirit lives within me, so I can walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me, my victory, my victory. Your spirit dwells within me, so I can walk in your peace. Your spirit dwells within me, my victory, my victory. Your spirit dwells within me, so I can walk in your peace. Your spirit dwells within me, my victory, my victory. Your spirit dwells within me, so I can walk in your peace. Your spirit dwells within me, my victory, my victory, Lord. Hallelujah. I am not alone. He's my comfort. He's my comfort. He always draws me close. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am not alone. He's my comfort. He always draws me close. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We magnify your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're my shepherd. You're our shepherd. We shall not want. You lead us and you guide us beside still waters. You lead us through the green. You make us lie down in green pastures. And that you comfort us. And I just thank you, Lord God, for everything you're doing within us, that your spirit lives within us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this word tonight. We're going to talk about being unashamed of you. And I just thank you, Lord God, that every need met tonight would be met. And I thank you that people would have the desire to win souls increased tonight as a result of this great message. I mean, of this great word from you, Lord God. As I speak, let your words come to them, Lord Jesus. And I make my confession over this program tonight, listeners. I mean, Jesus, I make my confession that sponsors and partners would come to this program, that finances would come in to this program, that increases, huge increases in listenership would come to this program. And most importantly, Lord Jesus, I thank you for a big increase in souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. All right. For the next little bit, I want you to follow along. Whatever I do, you do. Oh, I just love that. Psalm 23. I pray, listeners, that that song ministered to you. I think I'm going to be using that one a lot. It really ministers. I feel like whenever I sing it, somehow I feel like it's almost like I'm ministering to myself. Either way, though, I just love it. Feel like it's very anointed. And you know, sometimes listeners, sorry for being quiet for a second, listeners, sometimes Holy Spirit comes upon you. Sometimes you just got to flow with it. Listeners, sometimes you just got to flow with it. Sometimes listeners, you just got to flow with it. Now, if you turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans chapter 1. Praise God. Romans 1. Romans is the first book after Acts. And these are the books that you start to see Paul and Peter wrote them. Some of these, Paul, some of them, Peter. And Paul, you may recall from the book of Acts, Paul used to be named Saul, and he used to persecute Jesus. Then he totally got turned around and started to write some of these books that were after Acts. So they said, we're going to Romans 1. We're going to begin with verse 1. Praise God. And listeners, I had to move the pages a little bit because I didn't want you to think I cheated. Because really, I was already there. You said, Miracle Man, you shouldn't do that. I know it. That's why I moved pages a little bit. I'll make sure next time that I'm not actually there when I say to turn there so that I'm on my way there the same time you are so that I don't purposely like crush you. And if any of you are saying, I hope I beat him, you mean by faith, right? All right. Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel that he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit, capital S, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8 now. First, I thank my Lord, my God, through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at least by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but I have been prevented from doing so until now. In order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles, I am obligated both by Greeks and by non-Greeks, both by the wise and the foolish, to the wise and the foolish. Both of those would have to be two, he's not biased. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. Verse 16, pay attention. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Or as I always hear it, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. And then he goes on to say the groups that it's for. First for the Jew, then for the Greeks. For in the gospel, a righteousness, God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written. The righteous will live by faith. Or as we always say it, that's where we get the just will live by faith from. Verse 18 now. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and the wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For all they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor did they give thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual immorality, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and they served created things rather than the creator. Who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved, some people will say reprobate, they turned them over to a reprobate mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters. Insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death. Not only do they continue to do these very things, they also approve of those who practice them. Back it up. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe." To those who believe. It didn't say to those who believe twice. I just wanted to make sure you had that. And then the verse it goes to say the different kinds of, first of all, Greek, and for the non-Greek, all that. Obviously, like, I am an American. And praise God. So, many of us Christians, we've read that all the time. And we may say one ashamed. Most of you, if your pastor or if another Christian asked you if you were ashamed, most of you would probably say no, that you're not ashamed. But question becomes, do you tell other people you're a Christian? Do you tell other people you're a Christian? If your family does not know that you're a Christian, if your friends do not know that you're a Christian, if other acquaintances that you have do not know that you're a Christian, you've never told them that you're a Christian, that you walk by faith. If your Facebook profile says nothing about you being a Christian, that could maybe be a sign that maybe you're ashamed. Or it could also mean maybe you're not ashamed, but you're just not bold. In the last days, we're not supposed to be ashamed of him. We're not supposed to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If someone mentions Jesus, don't roll your head. If someone mentions the gospel of Jesus and you roll your head, now by faith I'll be able to see if you roll your head. I trust, I hope, listeners, that none of you are rolling your heads right now. But if you just roll your head or shake your head no, that could whatever, that could be a sign that maybe you're ashamed of Jesus, ashamed of the gospel. We're not supposed to be ashamed. We're supposed to be unashamed. The Great Commission, Mark 16, later in the chapter, Jesus said, "Go into all the world, go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ unto every creature." That's talking about every man, every human creature. Not to your dog, not to your cat. Your dog and cat, they're not going to go to heaven with you. And I know your dog and cat, they may know, some of them might know right from wrong, but I've never heard of a dog repenting. I was telling someone this morning some stories of a dog I used to have. And he did some things that he would now wish that he never did. When the mother makes some brats and noodles for dinner, and they're all on a big plate, and we have to go drop the babysitter off at their house, and then we come home, we were trusting that food was going to be there. The dog eats all of it. That dog doesn't know how to repent. That dog learns, though, that it's wrong. But your dog's not going to go to heaven with you. But anyhow, we're not supposed to be ashamed of the gospel. And if you hang your head about it, why? Are you afraid of what your friends might think? Are you afraid of what your parents or your kids might think? Are you afraid of what your teacher might think? Are you afraid of what the different people you deal with? Are you afraid of what other people might think? And you're not willing to admit that you're a Christian because of what someone might think, or because someone might judge you a certain way, give you a dirty look, or other various things. Therefore, you're ashamed to admit and you're ashamed, or you're ashamed to share the gospel of Jesus. Because people should know. Everybody know, they should know that you're a Christian. If they don't know, what's the problem? And a lot of us can do better at being a better witness. But I'm challenging. This is the last day. We have to make sure that we're a good witness and make sure that people know that we're not ashamed. We're supposed to be the light of the world, not just be those that kind of blend in or we're mixed, you know, a foot in the world, a foot in the church. Look, in Revelation, it says, I would that you were cold or hot. But because you were lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. He'd rather us be cold or hot than lukewarm. Really? He'd rather me be cold than lukewarm? Yep. Now, of course, I wouldn't want you to be cold either. I want you to be on fire for God. Not be, you know, lukewarm, cold, ashamed. Don't want to go to church. Don't want to pay your tithes. Don't want anyone else to know that you're a Christian, but you're just doing it for yourself. Are you doing it because you want to just impress a certain person, so you don't want anyone else to know that you're a Christian? That could be a sign maybe that you're ashamed. And we're not supposed to just be all ashamed of Jesus. No, we're supposed to be bold, be strong, tell people. And if we're zealous about them and we have zeal, if we have zeal for the things of God, if we have zeal for it, zeal is like the opposite of shame. And we have a theme verse for the Invasion Young People Conference at my church. It's, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. But we just read it. People at your work, they should know that you're a Christian. You young people, if you're listening to me, young people, any of you all are listening, do the kids at that other school, at that school that you normally go to, do they know that you're a Christian? If not, why? Why don't they know? Will you not pray over your food because you're afraid that you'll get suspended? I'm going to tell a story that my pastor's son, Josh Barclay, has told before. So, there was these kids back in the day. There's this kid. This girl, she goes to a very large high school with about 1,600 students. And so obviously they have a couple different lunches. And so in the lunch that she's in, suddenly she decides to make a stand. She stands up on that table in the lunchroom in front of all these kids, all these other hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of students. By the sounds of it, I don't think they had open campus. Maybe they did, I don't know. But the school I went to had open campus, but that don't matter right now. But all these students, in front of all these students, she stands up on the table and she says, "I love Jesus." Then she does it again. "You kids, we love Jesus too. A few more, and a few more, a few more, a few more. Tell 100 or 200 kids, maybe more, I forget. But they all said, we love Jesus too." It was a beautiful thing. She won souls for the kingdom of God at that school of hers. And it was an amazing thing, because that young person decided that she was not only unashamed, but she was bold. She didn't care what other people thought. For all she knew, maybe not one person would agree. For all she knew, she could have cleared that cafeteria instantly, and they could have all said, "Oh, we're going to McDonald's." Oh, wait, McDonald's has 60 cars at it. Imagine, right? All those kids, 60 cars at it. And I can't sit down. That's full. The playroom is full. Because of all the different restaurants and that. But nope. She did that. A bunch of the kids agreed. Like 150 students, I want to say it was. Hopefully at Invasion, he'll tell it this year too. And then maybe I'll get back to you. And then I'll get back to your listeners on how many it was. But maybe one of you might do that at the plant you work at, listeners. One of you maybe who works at on a big factory floor somewhere, maybe at work, maybe on your lunch break or something. At some point, you just got to make a stand. Because in the last days, you have to make a stand. You going to make a stand for Jesus? Or are you going to hide him in the back room and you just decide, souls, who cares? I don't care about souls. I don't care about whether or not these people make heaven. You don't care if those people don't make heaven? You really want these people to go to hell for all of eternity. Because if you're ashamed of Jesus, you won't win souls for him. That's a sign that maybe you're just in it for yourself. Because this would be a sad thing to be. That when Jesus looks at you, your name in the book, okay, he's a good tither, was a great giver, came to church all the time. He was good at this. He read his Bible. He prayed. But no one ever knew he was a Christian. Because he was ashamed to admit it. Because he cared too much about what other people thought. That's not good. And Jesus died so we could live without pain, without shame. What do we do for him? Is your name in the book? Is your name in the book of names? When Jesus calls out the names on Judgment Day, is your name going to be in that book? I hope so. I hope that you hope so. Because we have to make a stand. We can't be ashamed of the gospel. We can't be ashamed of what other people might think when we tell them that we're a Christian. Because being a Christian, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not something to be ashamed of. It's not. And if you won't tell anybody about it, maybe sometimes, because sometimes maybe the reason you won't tell somebody something about something, that could be a sign that maybe you're ashamed of it. I didn't say a guarantee, I said possibility. I know some people are just shy. Sorry about that, listeners. You just got to love modern technology. Sometimes it just doesn't want to work. Listeners, of what I was saying a minute ago, though, I don't know what happened with my technology. Maybe it's ashamed. I don't know. I hope not. But anyhow, like I was saying, it's the last days, and the only thing you can take with you to heaven is people. Your dog and cat aren't going to go up there with you. All your donuts and your sweet treats aren't going to go up there with you. Although there'll be donuts and sweet treats when we get up there, there'll be donuts and sweet treats and all that, and a McDonald's and a Crackle Barrel and all that good stuff. I know for sure. I know for sure. I got the inside scoop. Okay, I don't have the inside scoop, but I really hope all that stuff's there. Another really good stuff, you know, some good diner food, you know, that sweet desserts that I haven't heard of that are like heavenly. Some good old chips. You know. So. But anyhow, the only way you're going to get to heaven is if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And people need to realize this, that it is the last of the last days. And now is not the time to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because just like I said a couple of nights ago, if you're still here after the rapture, which you should not be, but if you're still here after the rapture, they're going to line up Christians and they're going to ask them, are you a Christian? Yes. Over here, we're going to shoot you. Are you a Christian? No. Let them go. Are you a Christian? Yes. Kill it. Are you a Christian? Nope. And then if you say no, you'll end up in hellfire forever. If you deny the name of Jesus, you will not make heaven. So we should not be ashamed of Jesus. We should be unashamed and be bold. Amen. Lord Jesus, bless those that tuned in tonight. Thank you that we would just get this word in our hearts, get this word in our minds, that we may be unashamed of you, Jesus. As we go about our lives, may we be unashamed of you, unashamed of what you've done, unashamed of who you are, unashamed of what you are to us. And may we just have zeal and a joy for you that we haven't had in a long time. And may we have that boldness, Lord Jesus, to tell people about you. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. All right. So, looks to be pretty much official. MLB, Major League Baseball, will in fact have a 60-game season. The regular season would start on July 23rd or 24th and end around September 22nd. Looks like the playoffs will stay as normal. There will be no All-Star game. And games, the way it's going to work out as of now, teams will generally be playing their divisional opponents and also the interdivisional. What I mean by that is I mean those who would be, like for the Tigers' case, we'd be playing the AL Central teams 10 times apiece, and then we would be playing 4 times against the NL teams, which would be the NL Central teams, in this case, which would be Cincinnati, Milwaukee, Cubbies, and Cardinals. And the Cubs, the Cards, the Reds, the Bruins, and Pirates of the league. So we play. So we play 10, 10, 10, and 10, 40, 4, 4, 4, 4, and 4, 20. Yep. So that's how the regular season would work. We'll work. Some games home, some half home, half away. They'll have to stay in a bubble. They'll have to be tested a couple of times a week. I don't know how you enforce that, really. But somehow they say they'll be able to do it. And they have I think they have a good plan. It's good to see that. And also, spring training will start next week. So it looks with hopefully some of these games will be on the radio. I'm sure the regular season will be. Hopefully we'll hear Dan Dickerson and Jim Price doing a good job, as they always do, because they always do a great job by us on the radio. NBA still does not know exactly when they will restart play. NHL's been really quiet. NFL, still hard to tell what'll happen. NASCAR has been racing as of late. So, folks, I speak Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no plague shall come nigh us or our immediate loved ones. We're going to live in great peace and great joy and prosperity. And be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. All right, folks. God first, God always.